New York City, Saturday, September 8th, the present, 6:13 p.m. One mistake was not enough for Cotton Malone. He made two. Error number one was being on the 15th floor of the Grand Hyatt Hotel. The request had come from his old boss, Stephanie Nell, through an email sent 2 days ago. She needed to see him in New York on Saturday. Apparently, the subject matter was something they could discuss only in person, and apparently, it was important. He'd tried to call anyway, phoning Magellan Billet headquarters in Atlanta, but was told by her assistant, she's been out of the office for 6 days now on DNC. He knew better than to ask where. DNC. Do not contact. That meant, don't call me, I'll call you. He'd been there before himself, the agent in the field, deciding when best to report in. That status, though, was a bit unusual for the head of the Magellan Billet. Stephanie was responsible for all 12 of the department's covert operatives. Her task was to supervise. For her to be DNC meant that something extraordinary had attracted her attention. He and Cassiopeia Witt had decided to make a New York weekend of the trip, with dinner and a show after he discovered what Stephanie wanted. They'd flown from Copenhagen yesterday and checked into the St. Regis, a few blocks north of where he now stood. Cassiopeia chose the accommodations, and since she was also paying for them, he hadn't protested. Plus, it was hard to argue with regal ambiance, breathtaking views, and a suite larger than his apartment in Denmark. He'd replied to Stephanie's email and told her where he was staying. After breakfast this morning, a key card for the Grand Hyatt had been waiting at the St. Regis front desk, along with a room number and a note. Please meet me at exactly 6:15 this evening. He'd wondered about the word exactly, but realized his former boss suffered from an incurable case of obsessive behavior, which made her both a good administrator and aggravating. But he also knew she would not have contacted him if it wasn't truly important. He inserted the key card, noting and ignoring the Do Not Disturb sign. The indicator light on the door's electronic lock switched to green and the latch released. The interior was spacious, with a king-sized bed covered in plush purple pillows. A work area was provided at an oak-top desk with an ergonomic chair. The room occupied a corner, two windows facing East 42nd Street, the other offering views west toward Fifth Avenue. The rest of the decor was what would be expected from a high-class Midtown Manhattan hotel. Except for two things. His gaze locked on the first, some sort of contraption fashioned from what appeared to be aluminum struts bolted together like an erector set. It stood before one of the front windows, left of the bed, facing outward. Atop the sturdy metal support sat a rectangular box, perhaps 2 feet by three, it too made of dull aluminum, its sides bolted together and centered on the window. More girders extended to the walls, front and back, one set on the floor, another braced a couple of feet above, seemingly anchoring the unit in place. Was this what Stephanie meant when she'd said important? A short barrel poked from the front of the box. There seemed no way to search its interior short of unbolting the sides. Sets of gears adorned both the box and the frame. Chains ran the length of the supports as if the whole thing was designed to move. He reached for the second anomaly, an envelope, sealed, with his name on it. He glanced at his watch. 6:17 p.m.